This is Ozarks at Large for Friday, May 28th, 2021. I'm Kyle Kellums. This is 91.3 KUAF. Ahead this hour, it's been just over a year since the murder of George Floyd. Ozarks at Large's Matthew Moore asks if there has been significant change after the initial protests and calls for change in the middle of 2020. And later, downtown Springdale preps for a very busy weekend, perhaps its busiest in over a year. Jocelyn Murphy with the Northwest Arkansas Democrat Gazette will explain. At 1 o'clock this afternoon on KUAF, on Science Friday, 50% of American adults are fully vaccinated against COVID-19, but there are still some hesitant to get the shot. What's the best way to convince them? Plus, humans mine some 50 billion tons of sand and gravel every year. Can we make sand more sustainable? Hear more right after our show on Science Friday from 1 to 3 today on KUAF. University of Arkansas Chancellor Joe Steinmetz is recommending the removal of Charles Bruff's name from a dining hall on the U of A campus, the relocation of a statue of U.S. Senator J. William Fulbright, and he's recommending keeping the Fulbright name associated with the university's College of Arts and Sciences. Last month, a committee weighing the appropriate use of Bruff's and Fulbright's names recommended the removal of the names and the statue. In a letter written to U of A System President Don Bobbitt this month, which President Bobbitt shared with the Board of Trustees yesterday, Chancellor Steinmetz recommends removing the Bruff name from the dining hall, considering the former governor's role in the aftermath of the Elaine race massacre of 1919. The chancellor recommends keeping the Fulbright name with the College of Arts and Sciences. Fulbright did sign the Southern Manifesto and has been criticized for his unwillingness to challenge Orville Faubus regarding the Central High Crisis, and he was an opponent of major civil rights and voting rights legislation of the 1950s and 60s. Chancellor Steinmetz writes, "The case of Fulbright is complicated because of his contributions as president of the university and U.S. senator, including his opposition to the Vietnam War and his creation of the Fulbright International Exchange Program. The chancellor is making a formal request that the statue of Senator Fulbright, now adjacent to Old Main, be moved to a different location, to an eventual spot where a full context of his life, from his failures toward civil rights and his efforts toward international understanding, can be provided." The chancellor sent a note to members of the University of Arkansas committee yesterday with the original letter, asking that people read the entire letter that also lists initiatives the chancellor says the U of A is launching to make the campus more inclusive. The Arkansas Department of Health is reporting 218 new cases of COVID-19 in the most recent 24 hours of testing and two more deaths from the virus. Hospitalizations increased by 14 cases in the last 24 hours. The number of active cases, again, more than 2,000 after a net gain of 233 cases. The number 6 Arkansas softball team hosts number 11 Arizona tonight in the first game of a best-of-3 Super Regional at Bogle Park. The winning team will qualify for the College World Series. And the number 1 Arkansas Razorback baseball team continues to roll. Last night, Arkansas defeated Vanderbilt, ranked 4th in the country, 6-4 in the SEC tournament. The Razorbacks have today off before facing a yet-to-be-determined opponent in Saturday's SEC semifinals. And here's something refreshing. Clear conditions in tonight's forecast. Lows tonight from 46 to 54. Sunny tomorrow. Highs around 70 in northwest Arkansas, near 76 in the Arkansas River Valley. Saturday night should be clear, with lows in the mid-40s to lower 50s. This is Ozarks at Large. This week marks 1 year since the murder of George Floyd in Minneapolis. Books on systemic racism were on bestseller lists. Black Lives Matter protests were happening globally. But as Fayetteville City Councilman DeAndre Jones and Curry Banton, Associate Professor of African and African-American Studies at the University of Arkansas, look back on the last year, it's been challenging. Ozarks at Large's Matthew Moore shares the story.
On May 25th, 2020, George Floyd was murdered by a Minneapolis police officer in broad daylight, with a cell phone camera recording the entire incident. I came into my interviews with Fayetteville City Councilman DeAndre Jones and Kari Banton, Associate Professor of African and African American Studies at the University of Arkansas, with a set of questions about the murder and the change we've seen over the last year. But I quickly realized that as a white man, it was easy for me to ask these questions and not have to reckon with the elements of white supremacy and systemic racism that people like Jones and Banton face every moment of their lives. We'll hear first from Kerry Banton and then DeAndre Jones about not just their reflections on the last year, but their experiences as Black people living in America.
You know, I must admit to you, Matthew, that I did not want to actually have this conversation with you today. And in fact, I have to tell you, you're perhaps the only media person I've talked to. I've not spoken, unless I'm doing an event and they require me to maybe say something to the media. But I generally don't deal with the media. I've found myself wondering, I just recently read a piece by Imani Perry at Princeton, where, you know, titled "Stop Hustling Black Death." And I found myself, she says in the article about the kinds of anguish she feels and, you know, and her, like I and many other people, we've been called to offer insight about the moment, the George Floyd moment, the movement for Black people. But at the same time, the only tangible thing that seems to come out of it is these kinds of market exchanges, right? People making money, news agencies making money, publishers, professional organizations making money, right? And the mental toll of it for Black people, the expectation that Black people show up to be, you know, eloquent and knowledgeable, to enlighten and to educate primarily white audiences who are then organizing in places of political and, you know, other forms of power to then make sure that nothing goes forward is extremely, you know, excruciating.
I grew up in Northeast Arkansas, and Northeast Arkansas has a reputation of systemic racism, and driving while Black is certainly no exception. So I have had run-ins during my younger years, of course, growing up in poverty prior to being elected. And I'm being, you know, transparent. I've been, you know, of course, arrested. Even though I was educated, it was easier for me or for African-Americans to end up being impacted by the system for many reasons. And one of those reasons, of course, is lack of resources and lack of opportunity. And then, of course, systemic racism. And so when you look at the numbers, when you see the numbers as it relates to crime, it's not saying that African-Americans commit more crime. It's saying that because of systemic racism, African-Americans are caught up in the system. So I had to get my record expunged in order to get a job. I had to get my record expunged in order to run for public office. And I'm hopefully my story can inspire others because I can relate to being impacted. Absolutely. I'm hoping that my opportunity, rather, to have my record expunged and create a more meaningful life for myself after, and even though being impacted by racism, I want other African Americans who have the same experience to know that being impacted doesn't have to impact your entire life.
All of these people who tend to be like, well, you know, America is about these rights and things, seems to, you know, for Black people, that just flows away in the face of police. And so when non-Black people had to encounter that, what they consider to be pure evil, not ventriloquized by Black people, but them seeing it for themselves on camera, then it was a point of not looking away, where all of these other, you know, police violence was involved some weapon or the other. This is the sheer weight of a man, which becomes the embodiment of maybe all that Black people had complained about, of what Black people, or what we know as white supremacy, the sheer weight of white supremacy bearing down on somebody's neck. And so in that instance, it was the worst thing they had seen. I mean, Black people have seen way worse.
Dealing with white supremacy, dealing with racism as a Black person, I can tell you this. Me personally, I've had feelings of hopelessness because I can't do anything to change the color of my skin. And I felt as if I can't do anything to change white America's perspective of me.
I remember growing up and being told I have to speak a certain way. I have to get my education. I have to be well-behaved, well-mannered. I have to say yes, sir, and no, sir. I have to dress a certain way. And let me be clear, none of those things mattered, because when we look at history, right, we look at Dr. King, we look at Malcolm X. Dr. King was highly educated. He spoke very eloquently. But what happened? He was killed, because at the end of the day, it's because of the color of his skin.
As long as white people think that white supremacy is a black person's problem, I think it's going to remain an issue. You know, it's not something that white people are helping black people to deal with, right? It is very much an issue that white people must take on as an issue that is crippling for this country. And I think a way, you know, like, I think when people think about the effects of white supremacy, they're like, their immediate reaction is to, oh, let's go and, you know, do this missionary cause, or, you know, go into these communities. And I think it's time for, you know, educated white listeners of NPR to start forming missionary groups among white people. That the missionary work must be amongst the white community, I think, to kind of change the onus or the ownership of how change happens in this country going forward.
One of the challenges that we see, we understand systemic racism. We have people who have claimed to be allies and claim to show up for racial justice. However, they stand in the way of racial progression, because even when there is an issue in our community, and as a black person, as a leader in this community, when I say, let us handle it this way, it's very unfortunate that we have had white people to tell us this is how we should deal with it. Black people are not monolithic. Black people are not to be used in a political game, and black people are not to be used for other communities to get political power. And I think that one of the things that we've done, that I've seen and many of us have seen during the Black Lives Matter protests in many of these cities, a lot of people who are considered to be maybe liberals or progressives are having issues. Black folks, African-Americans having the same issues. However, as opposed to supporting us, telling us it's grandstanding. When we don't believe everything that they want us to believe, then we're ostracized. Then we're painted to be something else. We're not painted to be progressive. But when I tell you that as a leader, that I'm going to work from the inside to create change, to make safety, for, to create a safe environment for black people, how dare a white person tell me that that's not the way that I should do it when you haven't had my experience? Because you are just as problematic as the blatant racist. When we're asking for allies to support us, if I say, hey, you know, I'm going to go about it this way. Support me. Don't tell me this is how I should do it because you feel like I should do it this way. And that's very unfortunate. And I want to say that because I think that not from a place of being upset and hurt, but a place of educating and creating an opportunity to build more trust, because this creates the dissension between the groups. And what happens is African-Americans are saying, we don't need you to show up for racial justice if you can't support us, not speak for us. We're able to speak for ourselves. And when we need your support, we hope to be able to call on you. But I have a responsibility, not just for the black community, but for Fayetteville. I would love to tell allies, those who are interested in showing up for social justice, we need you to show up in the form of an ally. We need you to believe that black lives matter. And you can't say black lives matter without respecting black leadership.
That was DeAndre Jones, a Fayetteville City Councilman, and Caree Banton, Associate Professor of African and African American Studies at the University of Arkansas. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Matthew Moore.
This is Ozarks at Large. With me on the phone from his office in Fort Smith is Michael Tilley with Talk Business and Politics. Welcome back, Michael.
Hey, thanks for having me back. I think my batteries are recharged. I finally got out of the house, had a weekend in Eureka Springs, so it's almost feels wrong in some way to be outside again with people, but I'm enjoying it.
Were you the only person in Eureka?
No, there were thousands of, I guess everybody got the memo that this weekend was the weekend to hit Eureka.
All right, well.
I didn't see you there, though, so we'll try to get the memo to you next time.
Where was I last weekend? I think I was here. I think I was in Fayetteville doing things. But I was out. I was out. I was out of the house as well, and it. I agree. It feels good slash odd.
Yeah.
Speaking of good slash odd, are we going to have an indoor sports complex in Fort Smith?
Well, we'll see, and let's hope it goes better than the outdoor sports complex they tried a few years back.
That's right, yeah.
Yes, Tim Jacobson, the relatively new director of the Fort Smith Advertising and Promotion Commission, that's the group in charge of tourism in the Fort Smith area, he is pushing, and it looks like it's going to go through. The city of Fort Smith is going to cough up about $7,500. The A&P will pay $7,500, and then that is matched by the state. That $15,000 is matched by the state. So they'll pay for about a $30,000 study. It'll take 12 to 14 weeks to complete. But what they want to look at is the feasibility of an indoor sports complex. Now, Jacobson has said he's done some initial research that looks at about 150,000 square foot facility. He says that it cost about $40 million. His push is that there will be a growing number of events that will take place. And you know, volleyball, basketball, all kinds of league sports. He says wrestling now is... Or when I grew up, it was called wrestling.
right.
But wrestling, not the professional, not the WWE wrestling, but competitive wrestling is a growing sport. And he says that other communities are also looking at this in Fort Smith. If Fort Smith could be first, we could get on the calendar and capture some of this traffic. Look, I know from... being a former volleyball dad, we traveled all over the place, Oklahoma, Dallas, or Texas, Missouri, Tennessee, for these league volleyball tournaments. And they do bring thousands of people to a community. I know Fort Smith has a large volleyball tournament that has to be spread out over several venues because not one venue is large enough. So we'll see. I always am a little cynical about these studies. Sometimes I wonder if they're more a study about if it's truly feasible or a study on how to build the case to sell such a facility to the public. Because, like I said, the $40 million facility, even though they've talked about maybe – some sponsorships and that type of thing, that's still a pretty big price tag for the Fort Smith area. So we'll see. We'll, you know, like I said, 12 to 14 weeks. We'll see what we get. But this will likely be a story we'll, again, follow through the rest of this year.
About 3/4 of an acre in the Chaffee Historic District is being sold. That includes a parking lot, includes buildings. What's going to happen there?
Well, this is an interesting development. A company called Rival is, and I think they're out of, I've drawn blank here, out of Georgia, or not Georgia. Anyway, they've bought some property, and it's Lloyd Sumter is the primary developer. They've bought this property, these barracks. And it's a very interesting development. They're going to turn the barracks into about 25 commercial spaces, about 72 apartment buildings, several restaurants, around three restaurants. And they're all going to fit into this planned project, which he's packing a lot into this property. But part of what I think is neat is, you know, part of it, some of these apartments, residential spaces will keep part of the barracks look. And I think one of the ideas mentioned could be like an Airbnb type thing where people who have stayed in, you know, veterans who stayed in these type of barracks before can come spend a weekend in something that kind of looks like the old barrack. so to speak. Of course, being a veteran, there's some of my old barracks I wouldn't ever want to see again.
Right.
But these will be nice, obviously, comfortable and convenient. But that's a lot of apartment space, good restaurants, commercial space, and it's all fits into that historic slash commercial area that they have there at Chaffee Crossing. And if you're not familiar with that area, it's really all starting to grow together. I mean, you have the medical college, you've got ArcVest corporate headquarters, you've got these residential subdivisions popping up, other restaurants popping up, even some of the manufacturing on the east side of that area. And so the land that used to, you know, just kind of be out in the middle of nowhere, it's all really coming together. So this would be a very interesting development, up to $12 million project. They've estimated about an 18-month timeline to complete once they begin. So, again, this is going to be another development we'll watch and see. I've followed enough of these, Kyle, to know that often some of the initial planning changes a little bit, so sure. we'll watch. But this is, I think, going to be another very interesting development for that part of Fort Smith.
Well, here's my unsolicited advice. Play up that Elvis was there, and when people come to stay and they ask, more than 10 years ago, I went to this place called the Shack Up Inn in Clarksdale, Mississippi, and it's legendary because great artists will stay there when they're going to record a record. And Elvis Costello would stay to one. And as I was checking out, I said, hey, just I'm wondering, which cabin did Elvis Costello stay in? And the guy behind the desk said, which one were you in? I said, number 28. He goes, that was the one. So just tell everybody that this is the barrack that Elvis was in.
Yep. Well, it's in that area. Yeah. It's in that area. So, yeah, why not?
Right. All right. You can read about this. Well, not my experience at the Shack Up Inn in Mississippi, but everything else we've talked about at talkbusiness.net. Michael, stay dry. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you next week.
I'll try to stay dry if it's possible, but yeah, thank you.
Roots HQ on the Avenue series presents John Moreland on Friday, June 4th and Saturday, June 5th at 6:30 p.m. Tickets and more information are available online at fayettevilleroots.org. Anyone interested in the Farm School for Beginning Farmer is invited to an open house at the Center for Arkansas Farms and Food. This event, Saturday, June 5th from 1:30 to 3:30, features a guided tour, program information, and small bites of the harvest prepared by local chefs. Registration is required. NWAFarmEvents.org for more information.
This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellens. With me on the phone is Jocelyn Murphy, who is with the Northwest Arkansas Democrat Gazette and filling in for Becca Martin Brown this week. Welcome back to Ozarks at Large.
Thank you, Kyle. We were just talking before we started. It's been a very long time since last time I did this, but I'm very happy to be back.
All right. We're going to start with this sort of massive event that features a runway show, but so much more. It's Assembly. It's based in downtown Springdale, and it's kind of got tentacles going everywhere, doesn't it?
It really does. So I know you've already spoken with Robin Wallace Atkinson and Rochelle Bailey this week with Interform. And when I spoke with Robin to dig into this massive event, she kind of laughed and she said, you know, if we suffer from anything, it's doing too much. So she was trying really hard to drive home, helping me understand everything that Interform is doing and everything that this massive month-long event Assembly will be. So I know that they spoke to you about specifically the runway show. So that kind of kicks off this month-long series of, if you want to kind of word it as like community events, public performances, and exhibitions. And the exhibitions is kind of the big thing. So Emerge was, or I guess it is, this designer residency program where they are getting resources and doing workshops and really getting some like professional training for regional and local designers. Well, they've done the same thing with curators. They have kind of established again, like with Emerge, it's the state's first training program of its kind for curators. And so there was an application process, and they brought on six kind of young curators, artists from all different mediums, and they've gone through this 4-month training program. And they, I mean, they did everything that you would imagine that a curator would do. They were conceiving exhibitions. They had an open call to artists, and these curators chose the artists for the exhibitions. They had to pitch the themes for their own exhibitions. And so Assembly, after the runway event, that does still keep the fashion element, because Interform was once upon a time Northwest Arkansas Fashion Week and the Arkansas Arts and Fashion Forum. They have now merged. It's all under Interform. They will host this month-long event where these six curators are featuring or like putting on their exhibitions that they've been working on for 4 months. But it's not just six exhibitions. There's like 13 different exhibitions, I think. It's different makeups of all these different artists. The curators themselves have work in some of the exhibitions. And I think it's something like 24 or 25 local artists are involved in this somehow or another. So it's kind of massive.
It would take us the rest of our edition of Ozarks at Large to talk about everything that's happening. But you can go to, I think it's interform.art.
Yes, interform.art. They've got a map there where you can find all of the locations. As I said, I think it's about 13 different locations, and they're all free. The exhibitions are all free to go and visit. The runway show is not, but I believe tickets are probably already sold out for that anyway. But on the art side, all the exhibitions are free. There's a map there where you can find all of the locations, and that's where you can go to learn a little bit about you can learn a bit about the curators and their backgrounds and, you know, kind of where they came from on the visual art side. And
right.
Then you can also read a little bit about each of their exhibitions. So that's where you're going to go for all of the information. Or if you just want to go in blind, just go there and get the addresses and then show up and experience it for yourself.
Now, that's a whole
month.
You've given us a whole month, but wait, I feel like this is an infomercial, but wait, there's more to this weekend.
There is, but sorry, I just wanted to add one more thing.
Yes.
So Robin did tell me, there's so much. It is a whole month, and Robin said part of the reason they did that is because the program is kind of modeled after an art biennial, which is this kind of situation where you're meant to go back several different times. So don't feel like, oh, there's 13 exhibitions. I've got to fit that in one weekend. You're not really meant to, but you're also meant to go back and interact with this space more than once.
That's Springdale. That's for a month. But wait, there is more to this weekend.
There is more, yes. So this weekend, this is the final weekend for Stasis and Change at Art Ventures in Fayetteville. And the Momentary in Bentonville they've kind of moved into a staggered exhibition schedule. And one of them is wrapping up this weekend. Sarah Kane in Nature. This weekend is the final weekend for that exhibition. And it is kind of wild if you haven't seen it. It's so bright and so colorful. And as evidenced by the name, Sarah was inspired by nature, so there's some natural elements, but honestly, from my perspective, not in the way you might assume, like trees and leaves and, you know, browns and greens. It is not like that, so it's really cool. You've got to get up there and see that. This is the final weekend for that.
Oh, all right, now I'm feeling pressure. It sounded cool. Now I'm feeling pressure.
Well, there's always cool things at the Momentary, so
that's
don't
true.
Feel too much pressure.
Okay, all right.
And then Rogers has a new stage, a new music venue, or I guess venue because it's not limited to just music,
right,
opening this weekend, Butterfield Stage. And that's going to be with you know, that's Brian Crown is behind that, the owner of George's. He's the VP at the Walmart Amp. So he's got his hand in a lot of other music things going on in the area. Well, now he's on board with Butterfield Stage. And so they are going to be this, it's about 1,000 people. It's a new outdoor venue. And it's part of that $6 million redesign of Frisco Park.
Which is
beautiful.
That's
been going on.
Yeah.
It's been renamed. Yeah, it's been renamed Rail Yard Park. And so the concert series that they're going to put on this summer is called Rail Yard Live. It's going to be in the summer months. It's at Butterfield Stage. But to kind of introduce the space to the community, they're having a film festival this weekend. It's called the Better Cities Film Festival. It's a 4-hour film festival. It's only on Saturday. And it's kind of mostly like educational films. But it's meant to connect the community to these kind of larger ideas about, you know, live, work, and play, like things like that. So that is on Saturday, Better Cities Film Festival at the new Butterfield Stage in Rogers. And then finally, I just wanted to tack on, because it is Memorial Day weekend. A lot of people like to get outdoors for Memorial Day weekend. Hobbs State Park in Rogers has got you covered if you're looking for outdoor things to do. They have all kinds of fun programming happening this weekend. If the rain finishes up, I don't know their rain policy, but man, I'm tired of this rain. So I hope it lets up. So tomorrow at 11 a.m., they have a program called Reptile Rap. I'm honestly not even entirely sure what that entails, but it sounds fun to me. So if you're interested in reptiles, again, you're looking for just somewhere to get out of the house, something nature-based or animal-based, that's tomorrow at 11 a.m., On Saturday at 1 p.m., they have a Hidden Wonders scavenger hike. Hmm. And on Saturday, they also have this another animal-based program called the Owls of Hobwarts instead of Hogwarts.
I see.
So that'll be on Owls, 3 p.m. Saturday. And then on 2 p.m. Monday, on actually Memorial Day, they've got another fun outdoor program. Going on a Bug Hunt is the name of that program. So, of course, they've got more than that. That's just a couple of them. That's at Hobbs State Park in Rogers for your Memorial Day weekend. If, for some reason, there's not enough art for you and you're looking for more to do.
Bug Hunt, isn't that just like every weekend from now until November in the Ozarks? You don't really have to work hard to find the bugs.
You don't have to work hard. So I guess they just put a title on walking around in nature, I feel like.
Well, I'll tell you who does work hard. That's Jocelyn Murphy, who worked hard to tell us everything that's happening this weekend. Hey, this was so much fun. Thank you so much.
It was fun. Thank you for having me again and for talking about all this fun stuff with me.
In the background is the Cedar Walton Trio performing live at Sweet Basil's. And I'm Robert Ginsberg, your host for Shades of Jazz every Friday and Saturday here on KUAF. We'll hear more from Cedar Walton, as well as members of the Marsalis family, the Bad Plus, Red Holloway, Herbie Hancock, and much more. Join me for Shades of Jazz right here on KUAF.
With me via Zoom is Rhonda Dillard, our underwriting director at 91.3 KUAF. Rhonda, welcome back to Ozarks.
Thank you very much for having me. We're here with another ticket giveaway, which is always great fun.
Yeah, this is the Her Set, Her Sound event that takes place a week from tomorrow.
It does. It's next Saturday, June the 5th at Prairie Street Live in Fayetteville. It is a music festival to celebrate women in music and marginalized entrepreneurs. It's a really all-inclusive, amazing event. Be 7 Northwest Arkansas women DJs. They'll be playing everything from hip hop to house, soul, EDM music, etc.
And we're going to learn much more about it on our Tuesday edition of Ozarks next week when I talk with Robin, the woman who is putting it all together. We'll give you all the details about the show.
That's right. So I have the computer has drawn 2 winners. So we would like to say congratulations to Jennifer Roller of Barling, Arkansas.
Yay.
And Kyle, if you would like to read the next. Congratulations.
Kathy Hudson from Springdale.
Congratulations to both of you. You will have two tickets waiting for you at Will Call. Please be sure to bring your IDs and go and have a great time.
And Rhonda, thank you so much. We're going to have more giveaways, right? We're getting out of this pause we've been in.
Oh, my gosh. Yes. I'm working on a couple of really great ones, which I'm very excited to share with everyone. So be patient. Keep listening. We'll let you know.
Rhonda Dillard is our underwriting director at 91.3 KUAF. Thanks, Rhonda.
Thank you.
Ozarks at Large is underwritten in part by the Walton Family Charitable Support Foundation. Support for KUAF comes from the Northwest Arkansas Business Journal, now featuring technology and telecoms, plus local business news from Northwest Arkansas. Subscriptions and information available at 725-0394 or nwabusinessjournal.com. KUAF is supported by Butterfield Trail Village, Northwest Arkansas retirement community catering to active lifestyles and resident well-being, offering daily activities, various living options, plus wellness facilities, aquatic center, and spa services. ButterfieldTrailVillage.org for more information.
Organizers of the Fayetteville Roots Festival have been showcasing music in different ways and in different places since the pandemic began. The Roots on the Avenue concerts have featured touring talents such as Demel Corey, John Fulbright, and others. And a new weekly patio series at Woodstone Pizza's Uptown location in Fayetteville features local musicians every Wednesday night. Next Wednesday, June 2nd, Claire Starr, Jeff Kearney, and Killer Sugar will take the outdoor stage from 5 to 8 p.m. This week, Claire came to the Harold and Blanchcock News Studio at KUAF to talk with Ozarks at Large's Timothy Dennis about the concert and to give us a preview of some of the music you can hear next week.
I would call you up, lines engaged, I had enough. At my age, I lost your time. Was so hard to find, I lost my mind. You don't see me, you don't see me. You don't see me. Don't know I know why you want to hide. I can't get through. I don't try, don't trust your way. Much of what you say been turned astray. You don't see me, you don't see me, you don't see me. Oh, time after time, you refused to even listen. Quite sure I'd mind if I knew what I'd been missing, don't you know what I mean? May our heart be true, free of fear, I'm at you. It's been like years, it seems so long. Girl, since you've been gone, I'll keep traveling on. You don't see me, you don't see me, you don't see me. Be true, free of fear, I met you. been like years, it seems so long. Girl, since you've been gone, I'll keep traveling on. You don't see me, you don't see me, you don't see me. Oh, now you don't see me. Oh, you don't see me.
Hi, this is Claire Starr, and this is my song, Violin.
I said I wouldn't go to see her. Inside her eyes is a wax museum. Probably she knows that I need to wash some clothes. I bet I knew I'd come to see her. Mother, she likes to watch the birds. Women are women all over the world. All I see is sand. Where is my sweet land? Women are girls all over the world. So play your violin and bring us all back in. Play your fiddle and bring us all back in. Some things just like to go together. Sugar and spice, dead men and ice. But try to play it cool when you're the fool. You'll find out what goes together. Some do things that others won't, but in that we may have missed a point. All my friends have rows of bruises. You choose who wins and the rest of us loses. But one of these things is just not like the other. I thought I would die before my brother. Oh, really, that's a lie. I don't think I thought about which one would die, but one of these things is just not like the other. So play your violin and bring us all back in. Play your fiddle and bring us all back in.
Nice. You've got a gig coming up. How
yes,
long
sir.
Has it been since you played in front of an audience?
Well, I played at a friend's party last year on a trailer in a yard, and goodness gracious, when was that? Last summer. And then before that, I had a gig booked. It's been a while. Well, you know, I had a gig booked in April for the Jazz Fest at the university, and that was canceled, of course.
Right.
And then I had a gig a couple months before that. And then other than that, it's been, so how long has that been? What does that mean, like 14, 15 months or something
like that?
I would guess. Right, it's June now.
Yeah, almost.
Probably February, more than a year ago was the last time I played a gig, I guess.
How have you been psyching yourself up, preparing to get on stage in front of people?
Well, I play on the bike trail quite a bit. Okay. I did for a while. Recently, I've been playing on the square, and by the town center. Mm-hmm. And not really in front of people, but it's vaguely like a concert.
Right.
You know, like there's people around. They're not necessarily listening. Then I play for my friends when I can, you know?
Yeah.
And I play in a friend's studio when I can. Most of it's been fairly personal. My performances. Have either been sort of impersonal or personal.
I got you.
Like on the bike trail with people who don't really care, but it's still sort of public. And then with friends maybe in a living room or at their house when people can tolerate it. So that's personal. And then the other is very impersonal. And then to play in front of people who are there to listen to you, that's a whole nother thing.
Right.
Like a group of them, that's a whole nother exchange of energy for sure.
So if it's been 14 months since you've actually had a show, presumably it's been at least that long since you've shared a stage with someone in front of people.
Yeah, I guess so. When I did the concert on the trailer in my friend's yard, I did share a stage with Noah and Dana and also Willie Carlisle. And so that was very nice. And so that was cool. And that was thrilling in itself. Because it had been a while at that point, even since I'd done anything like that. But I don't mind sharing a stage with somebody. I think it's exciting. In fact, when we talked about this concert with Roots Festival, I thought, well, I'm going to bring out two of my really good friends who are great musicians, and we're going to do this concert together.
So who have you got going to play the show?
So Jeff Kearney is going to start out the concert, and he's going to do some things by himself, because we've been working on some of his original compositions together in preparation for a recording. And then he's going to bring me up, and then my friend Killer Sugar, he's going to bring her up as well, and then we'll end the first set. And so Killer Sugar is a friend of mine who worked in Branson for many years, and she's a very accomplished vocalist. And then we will start the second set together, and then I'll do some solo things after we complete our duo material.
Nice.
Right.
Tell us a little bit more about this gig. It's at Woodstone, right?
It's at Woodstone Uptown. The gig will be from 5 till 8 on June 2nd. And it's going to be outside. If it rains, they have a sort of semi-enclosed patio where it will be. Bernice and Brian Embry from Roots Festival are putting on this event. And it's a part of a series of events that they're putting on, a little concert series at this same venue. You know, we have a great PA man,
right.
And so the sound is going to be great, and it should be set up very well. It should be very nice.
So that is next Wednesday, Woodstone North here in Fayetteville.
That's correct.
5 to 9, you said?
5 to 8.
5 to 8.
Five to eight. We're going to do two sets. You know, we're going to split it up into two sets rather than three, even though there's three artists being presented. But like I said, Killer Sugar is going to sing some of Jeff's songs with us, and then I'll accompany her, and he's going to accompany us on some tunes as well. So there will be three of us on stage at some point,
yeah.
And then one, starting with one, and then two, and then three, and then two, and then one again.
I like it.
I think so, too.
I love it. Well, Claire, thank you so much for spending some time with us today. Would
so
you mind playing one more song to close us out?
No problem. I'm going to do a Bob Dylan song that I've been working on. It's called She Belongs to Me.
She's got everything she needs. She's an artist, so don't look back. She's got everything she needs. She's an artist, so don't look back. She can take the dark out of the nighttime and paint the daytime black. Oh, you'll start out standing proud to steal her anything she sees. You will start out standing proud to steal her anything she sees. But you'll wind up looking through her keyhole, down upon your knees. Thank you. Oh, she never stumbles. She's got no place to fall. Oh, she never stumbles. She's got no place to fall. She's a nobody's child. The law can't touch her at all. She's got an Egyptian ring that sparkles before she speaks. She's got an Egyptian ring that sparkles all before she speaks. She's a hypnotist collector. You are a walking antique. Sunday, salute her when our birthday comes. Bow down to her on Sunday, salute her when our birthday comes. For Halloween, buy her a trumpet. For Christmas, get her a drum. Oh, she's got everything she needs. She's an artist, so don't look back. She's got everything she needs. She's an artist, so don't look back. She can take the dark out of the nighttime and paint the daytime black.
Claire Starr performing in the Harold and Blanchcock News Studio. He spoke with Ozarks at Large's Timothy Dennis. Claire, Jeff Kearney, and Killer Sugar will perform from 5 to 8 p.m. Wednesday at Woodstone Pizza's Uptown location in Fayetteville. It's part of the Patio Concert Series presented by the Fayetteville Roots Festival. More about the series at FayettevilleRoots.org.
When caring for a seriously ill loved one, the journey shouldn't be taken alone. Circle of Life Hospice can help. Services are covered by Medicare, Medicaid, and private insurance. No one is turned away based on inability to pay. 750-6632 or nwacircleoflife.com for more information. KUAF is supported by Merton's Eye and Optical in Fayetteville, offering curated selections of handcrafted eyewear and sunglasses from independent eyewear manufacturers including Barton Pereira, Alim, Mascot, and more. Eyewear styling consultations are available. More information at mertenseye.com.
And this is 91.3 KUAF, Fayetteville, Fort Smith, Bentonville, and Elm Springs. KUAF is a listener-supported service of the University of Arkansas. Contributors today included Matthew Moore and Timothy Dennis. Timothy also produced today's show. Additional help today from our friends at KUAR, Public Radio for Little Rock and Central Arkansas. Our thanks to Jocelyn Murphy from the Northwest Arkansas Democrat Gazette and Michael Tilley from Talk Business and Politics for their Friday help. We will be back with you Sunday morning at 9 for another edition of Weekend Ozarks Large, and we'll have another week of daily shows beginning Monday at noon and 7 p.m. right here on 91.3 KUAF. From the Anthony and Susan Hoy News Studio, I'm Kyle Kellums. Please be safe this weekend. Thanks for listening.